Hello and welcome to episode number 13 of the AFTV Newscast, recorded October 30th. I'm Elias Saba, the guy who runs AFTVnews.com, and this is where I cover all the week's Fire TV news and then end it off by answering a whole bunch of questions submitted by the viewers and listeners. We've got a pretty nice lineup of articles to talk about this week. We got some limited shopping now available on the Fire TV. We've got a full overview of that I'll be going over. A lot of update news. So we had two updates come out this week, essentially 5.0.3 and then 5.0.3.1. We'll be talking about everything that we know about those, as well as some of the comments from you guys. Been helping out a lot there. A nice update to Firestarter that handles Kodi updates and installs a little bit. Gaming edition of the Fire TV is back in stock. We'll talk about what that means to current Fire TV owners. It's actually really good that thing is coming back in stock and not being delayed any longer. Talk about the game controller a little bit. It's getting some bad reviews, but you know, we'll discuss why that is. I got one here next to me. We'll show it off a little bit more. Quick update on the Fire TV Stick voice bundle that I talked about last week, and then follow up by some new apps, app deals that are out, and then a little bit of non-Fire TV news, a little Echo news, and then we'll of course follow up by going over all the questions. So busy episode as always. So first up in the news is the shopping abilities that have come to the Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. Now, I know there are a lot of mixed feelings about this. Some people kind of see this as you know, intrusive and ruining the Fire TV, and some people are kind of welcoming it and looking forward to kind of this expanding more so. So if you guys recall back in July, I kind of broke the news that the Fire TV would be getting a shopping, full-blown shopping feature. I found out more recently that shopping feature has been postponed because Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, actually got a demo of it and he didn't like one aspect of it. And so they kind of took it back to the developers to work on that. And that aspect was the shopping cart. So the demo of the shopping feature that Jeff Bezos saw didn't have a full-blown shopping cart. You could only buy individual items kind of with a one click, or you could add them to a shopping cart that then you'd have to check out with either a mobile phone or with a web browser. And so he didn't like that. He wanted a full-blown shopping experience where you can add items to a cart on the Fire TV and then check out, you know, all at once. And I kind of agree, you know, that's kind of an important feature. So that's what kind of has postponed the full-blown shopping feature on the Fire TV. I hear that we're going to probably get that full-blown feature probably next year. We probably won't see it this year. But in the meantime, Amazon has kind of unlocked this sort of mini shopping aspect of the Fire TV through these banner ads. So since roughly pretty much when the Fire TV Stick came out almost a year ago, we had these new banner ads that show up on the homepage. And I know a lot of people don't like the banner ads, but luckily they're not that intrusive. They actually only move down the home screen a little bit. That space was already empty to begin with. So you're not really like losing a lot of content on the home screen, thankfully. I saw a nice comment actually on this post was by somebody who made a good point where if you're on the home menu on the left side and you press to the right, it doesn't go to the banner. It goes to the recent carousel, they call it. That's a really important point that the commenter made. You know, if it went to the banner and you had to actually like basically click past the banner every single time, then I would definitely be on the boat of the banner is annoying. But if the banner kind of supplements the cost of the Fire TV, it's, you know, I think it's a good thing because, you know, if it keeps the Fire TV priced low and maybe even, you know, next gen Fire TV is going to go even lower or they're going to drop the price. But so the banner, you know, you can fully shop actual items with it. You know, right now it's pretty limited. I've only seen, you know, this holiday toys banner, a Fitbit banner, Hershey's Halloween candy. And I've also seen Amazon Echo. I think that might have been the first banner I ever saw was a little banner to buy the Amazon Echo through the Fire TV. Going over real quick the kind of experience, you know, I kind of liked it. It was pretty polished. So the Fitbit, for example, it goes right to the product, but the holiday toys one actually goes to a little like carousel of various toys that you can purchase. The actual product page, if you could call it, interface, is very similar to the full-blown, you know, Amazon.com. It's only missing a few little things. So you can modify the product just fine, you know, through the little buttons here at the top. There's the full description features that you would find on the regular Fire TV page. If the product on the Amazon.com page has kind of a more, you know, rich description where they've got images and all that stuff, that won't show up on the Fire TV. You only get a text description. So that's a little missing thing. But you've got all the images that are available on the actual website. You could see through the Fire TV, even the videos if the product has a video. And then scrolling down to the bottom, you get full reviews. You can't really sort the reviews, so that's missing there. But you can, you know, they're sorted by most helpful, you know, which is Amazon's little algorithm to determine, you know, what people marked as helpful. And so it's nice. You could read all the reviews and really kind of make a decision right there on the Fire TV. You know, it's not a crippled, limited experience shopping on the Fire TV if you want to. And again, you can always just ignore it. It's not that in your face, and it doesn't seem like it. You know, I think we're going to get an actual shopping section on the left. I'm not positive about that one, but right now we've only got it in that little banner. So I'm fine with the feature personally right now. Let me know in the comments what you guys think. You know, I'm always curious to see what the general opinion is of it. Yeah, so you can modify the product, and then the whole checkout process is really simple, which is, you know, as simple as they can get it pretty much. So once you click the little proceed to checkout button, you basically have the whole summary of your order right there, and you can just hit place your order, and there you go, items ordered. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. They've got parental controls where you can, you know, require a PIN to be entered if you want to avoid, you know, your kids or something accidentally ordering something. You know, it works just with the regular parental controls that are already on there. There's nothing special. So I'm told once the full-blown shopping feature comes, they're actually going to integrate it into the X-ray feature. So if you're not familiar, when you're watching like a video through Amazon Instant Video, if you press up on the remote, it'll pop up information about the scene that you're watching. It'll show you actor information, character information, even trivia. It'll tell you what song is currently playing on, you know, in the episode, for example, that sort of stuff. So it's really handy to just kind of like, if you're wondering something about an actor or you're wondering who somebody is on the scene, on the screen, the X-ray feature is really nice. It also pops up kind of at the bottom when you pause the video. But supposedly this shopping aspect is going to kind of integrate themselves into that X-ray feature. So in addition to actor info, character info, music info, if there's some product that's being like highlighted on the screen, you know, there'll be a little product info thing that you can go in and shop and buy that product right there. You know, I don't know too many details about how they're going to integrate that, whether it's going to be like a sponsored thing where the, you know, TV show has to kind of work with Amazon, or if Amazon is going to actually have people kind of looking, and, you know, if somebody's using an iPhone, you can buy an iPhone or something like that. You know, again, it's a very controversial feature. Some people are going to like it. Some people are going to absolutely hate it. I know that for sure. Just because it's, you know, it's ads. It's a little intrusive. You know, if you're using this box as a media viewing box, you might not want these extra features that are kind of more integrated into Amazon. But of course, you have to remember that Amazon is selling these boxes at cost, essentially. You know, on the first Fire TV, I saw some company, they broke down piece by piece what all the different components in the Fire TV costs, and it basically came out to right around $92. This was on the first gen. And I assume the second gen is probably right around the same. And so the only way they can sell it at cost is if they try to recoup, basically make a profit in other ways. And this is one of those ways. So you're giving up one thing to gain basically a reduced price product. So, you know, we'll see where Amazon goes with this. I think they're going to be pretty smart about it. They're not going to just slam ads all over the place and try to keep trying to get you to buy something. It's just going to be like an afterthought just for those people who want it. But yeah, it's really interesting, different development on the Fire TV. And moving along, let's talk about these updates. So last week we started getting the 5.0.3 software update for the second gen Fire TV. This is the second update that involves kind of fixing all of these launch bugs that everybody's been seeing. The big thing that people have been waiting for is a fix for Dolby Digital surround sound. We got a fix in the 5.0.2.2 update that fixed Dolby Digital Plus, but it left Dolby Digital kind of still stranded and unfixed. This update does not fix that, but I'm told we'll get to in a minute that the following update that actually just started rolling out at the end of this week did fix Dolby Digital surround sound. So we'll get to that in a second. But as far as this one, the 5.0.3 update, one of the big fixes is the low audio issue some people were experiencing. So their Fire TV was just not putting out, you know, loud audio. It just seemed very low. I didn't see that with my Fire TV too, but I've seen reports in the comments that people have had that fixed. It's really awesome that you guys have been, you know, so active in the comments with these updates and you know, chiming in, letting people know what you've tested, what you've noticed that have changed. You know, it's tough for me to really get in and test all of these things and try to figure things out. I mean, especially the Dolby Digital surround sound, because that's very dependent on your setup. Some people are going HDMI straight into a receiver. Some people are going into a TV and then optical out into a receiver. There's a lot of different setups and I can't possibly test them because I just don't have the equipment for everybody's individual setup. And, you know, some people have TVs that can handle Dolby Digital only, but their receiver can do Dolby Digital Plus. So yeah, again, you know, it's really awesome that you guys have been so helpful in the comments. You know, if you guys are watching this list or listening to this and you haven't read up on the comment section of these update posts, they're definitely one of the best, you know, sources of information for these updates, just because Amazon has not, they always never really give details, especially for these bug fixes. You know, they'll whenever an update adds new features, especially if it's like a big feature, they'll break it down and kind of, you know, put out a little press release for that. But for bug fixes, all they say is performance improvements and minor bug fixes. That's pretty much the sentence that they give for all of these fixes. So, you know, I have to rely on you guys and you guys rely on me to kind of dig through the comments and dig through these updates and really try to figure out what has changed. This update also brings a new remote updater. So in the following update, the actual remote gets updated, but this update kind of preps for the remote to get updated. And a lot of people have been complaining about disconnection issues and laggy remotes and not responsive remotes. So it sounds like these updates are finally addressing that also. I'm also told that this update adds some Logitech Harmony Hub compatibility issues there. So the Logitech Harmony is that universal remote that works with the Fire TV. It connects via Bluetooth through the hub. And so the second gen Fire TV was kind of not detecting that perfectly. And so this update fixes that. So this update also improves detectability for 4K TVs that are connected through a AV receiver on some specific, you know, scenarios and models. I don't know the exact ones, but the Fire TV itself was unable to detect that you had a 4K TV connected to it. It was only a limited scenario, I'm told, but this update improves that. So if you had issues where your TV was not detecting 4K or you weren't getting 4K out of Netflix or something like that, then definitely try testing that out again. I know some people were buying little devices that were kind of handling the 4K detection and the HDCP kind of handshaking and putting it in line. So, you know, hopefully this improves that and you kind of won't need those devices anymore. So that kind of sums up the 5.0.3 software update. Now let's move on to the 5.0.3.1 software update. So it's still early days on this one. It literally just started rolling out yesterday. So very few people have received it already. As always, if you guys haven't received these updates yet, and you know, any of these, either the 5.0.3 update or this new one, 5.0.3.1, don't sweat it. You can't really force the update. You can go in and force a check, but if it's not your box's turn in line to get this update, it won't update, even though some people have already received it. I know some people are still on 5.0.2.2, I believe, and they haven't even gotten the 0.3 update, and some people have already gotten the 0.3.1 update. So again, don't worry about it too much. You know, it's Amazon. They like to roll out these updates really slowly to certain devices so that if there are any issues, they're not just kind of basically wiping out everybody's Fire TVs at once. For the most part, if your Fire TV updates very early, very quickly, you know, to these new updates, if it receives these new updates quickly, then it will pretty much always receive new updates quickly. Your place in line for all of these updates is almost pretty much locked, it seems. This is what I've noticed, because I have several Fire TV devices and they basically always update in the same order. You know, one will receive it first, and then maybe later in the day, the next one will receive it, and then like a day or two later, my third one will receive it, and so forth. So, you know, if you haven't received it, don't worry about it. Just be patient. I know sometimes when you're kind of checking for updates, it seems like it checks really quickly. I think that's because it sort of caches that it checked, and it doesn't, like, even though you tell it to recheck, it doesn't always do a full recheck because it knows that it's not going to get it for a little while. So don't sweat it. You know, check it once a day, maybe twice a day. You know, don't sit there just checking all day. You're just going to drive yourself crazy. There's nothing really you could do about it. For this new update, from, you know, what we've heard already from people, it does sound like Dolby Digital surround sound has been fixed and pass through Kodi has been fixed. So really big thanks to Chris Wolf, who chimed in on the comments and says, "I can confirm that DTS and every other audio is now working on Kodi through pass through. I received update this evening. I've tried Dolby and various other audio formats such as DTS, Master Audio, Dolby 5.1, Dolby 7.1, DTS 7.1. The only one that didn't work was Dolby True HD. really big thanks to Chris Wolf there for letting you know. Also from Papa here, also said, updated this morning, including the remote update. So this new 5.0.3.1 update includes an update to the remote control. So hopefully this is the big, you know, update. I was told that Amazon's got an entire team just dedicated to making the remote rock solid, you know, with these updates. And so it sounds like this is that update. Haven't heard about people commenting yet whether the remote connection has improved, but since the remote actually did receive an update, I assume that we're going to get improvements there. And so, yeah, Papa says here, Cody as well, now working with Pass-Through, Dolby Digital, and DTS. Really awesome. Thanks to you guys, and thanks to everybody who's been commenting, letting us know. I'll be trying to dissect these updates a little further, trying to look into the code, seeing if I can figure out anything more specific that you guys haven't figured out yourself in the comments. And, you know, soon I'll be posting kind of a summary of all the bug fixes that we've seen so far. All right, moving along in Fire TV news, Firestarter, the kind of app that lets you launch sideloaded apps a lot easier and adds kind of home button detection so you can, you know, double tap the home button and that'll launch something else, has gotten an update. So the developer just updated it to version 3.2 and he added a really nice, really handy new feature, and it can now basically install Kodi from scratch or update your current Kodi installation. So that's really awesome because that's kind of one of the main apps that everybody sideloads and that, you know, is constantly being updated. So now within Firestarter, you can go in, there's a update section on the little menu, as you can, if you're watching the video version of this podcast, you can see the updates menu here. And then he always had the ability to allow Firestarter itself to auto update itself, but he added Kodi into there. So you can just hit check for updates and it'll check and figure out what the latest version, the latest stable version of Kodi is. He doesn't support the nightlies, but yeah, really awesome, you know, nice feature. If you guys are using Firestarter, hit up the link here that takes you to the guy's XDA page. If you've got the means, donate a few bucks to him. I mean, the guy's been supporting this thing constantly, improving it from, you know, every single week, it seems. If you've got the means, donate a few bucks to him. Really awesome. This is a great update. Just makes everybody's, you know, life a little bit easier. So moving on in Fire TV news, the Amazon Fire TV Gaming Edition is now back in stock. About midway through October or so, the Gaming Edition went out of stock. And then that's when we kind of heard from my source that the reason both the Fire TV and the Fire TV Gaming Edition were out of stock was because Amazon was using basically all of their stock to pump it into their little internal testing pool that they were creating so that they can test all of these bug fixes that have been coming out, making sure they're all rock solid. And so, you know, it's great news that it's back in stock for those people who have been waiting to buy it. But even better news is for existing Fire TV owners and existing Fire TV, you know, second gen owners. This hopefully means that the bug fixing effort has been going well. You know, if the Fire TV got postponed even further, you know, going back in stock, to me, that would mean that they're having some more issues with the bug fixing process, and they kind of need to delay when they want to get these new boxes out to people. So the fact that it's back in stock already, and back in stock early, you know, when it went out of stock, it had listed a restock date of November 3rd. And so, you know, today is the 30th, and actually it came back in stock yesterday on the 29th. So it's back in stock a few days early. Hopefully that means they're happy with their bug fixing effort. And, you know, from the sound of things, it seems like all of the big issues have been addressed. The remote connection issues are the only ones I kind of haven't really fully heard from yet, but I'm sure we'll hear from people in the next few days. But yeah, so seems like the bug fixing effort is going well. Fire TV 2, the regular $99.99 bundle, is still not back in stock, but that initially, when it went out of stock, it listed a November 4th return date. So I think November 3rd, November 4th, that was kind of when Amazon was probably shooting for getting all these bugs fixed, which makes sense because all the bug fixes have kind of come out this week. But then shortly after the regular bundle went out of stock, it got pushed from November 4th to November 7th. So I have a feeling a lot of people have been putting their orders in for the regular $99 Fire TV 2. So that's why it's kind of delayed even further than the Gaming Edition, just because that one's more popular. But yeah, I'm sure that one will be back in stock unless people, you know, start putting in more orders. But it probably will be back in stock next week. All right, speaking of Fire TV Gaming, the gaming controller has kind of been suffering from some bad reviews. I noticed that today it was released, the gaming controller, that is the new one, was released earlier this week on the 22nd, and it currently has a 1.6 star rating. And so that was kind of shocking because I have the controller here, and you know, I got more time with it this week. I tried to play some more games and stuff, and you know, my initial impressions were that I liked it, and you know, now that I've gotten a little more time with it, I definitely like it a lot more than the first gen controller. I think it's really nice improvement. My only real complaint is that the buttons themselves, you know, it's kind of a lot of pressure to a little more pressure than I'd like to actually activate these buttons. That's kind of my only complaint, but I think that's because I'm used to, you know, like the Xbox 360 controller, these buttons were kind of more sensitive, you know, almost analog, I think, pressure sensitive, whereas these are just digital, you know, on and off. So I think that's the only thing that I'm kind of, you know, not too thrilled about. But you know, for an Android based controller that, you know, is playing more, you know, simpler games that don't really need that extra analog you know, buttons, it's pretty cool. And actually, one thing I noticed, here's kind of a, I haven't posted about it yet, but you can probably see here let me make this bigger so I could see. So you could see those strobing lights. So it's searching for a connection right now, and because I'm you know, too far from the Fire TV, it can't find one. But here, let me just bear with me while I hold it still and it finishes searching. This controller actually has an accelerometer, and it uses that to basically determine when to start looking. So here, the light turned off, so now I'm going to shake it. Light turn back on without pressing any buttons. So that, I mean, that tells me it's got an accelerometer in there, and basically they're using it strictly to, you know, basically when you pick up the remote, it's going to start, you know, looking for the connection, to make the connection, so that you don't have to like pick it up, press a button, and then wait for it to make a connection. So anyway, that's, you know, a really nice, neat feature that it's got, you know, just a little thing, you know, something you don't think about. I've been meaning to write a little article about that, but that's a little preview of something I'll write up later. I want to kind of try to ask my sources at Amazon to see if they can tell me a little bit more about that feature, if it does anything other than you know, what I suspect. But anyway, so the gaming controller has been getting bad reviews, and so I was pretty shocked because I like the gaming controller. The first generation gaming controller had a 4.2 star rating, and so I was surprised that the new controller had such bad reviews. So I took a closer look. It doesn't have too many reviews right now, but it's basically people complaining that the new controller is not compatible with the first gen Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. And so that kind of all makes sense now, because initially Amazon was planning to release Fire OS 5 for the first generation Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick before October 22nd, when this controller was supposed to ship out. So that's why the second gen game controller, the product page, it tells you that it's compatible with Fire TV Stick, and it tries to sell it that way. And so now Amazon has kind of changed the title of that page. Yeah, so you can see here they've changed the title to now say that it's only compatible with second gen Fire TV. That's probably to, you know, try to alleviate some of these bad reviews the thing is getting. Now I actually went through and actually checked to see what of these negative reviews, pretty much only one of them does not mention or is not written because the device is not compatible with the first gen Fire TV. And so if you removed those bad reviews that basically just are there because they couldn't connect it, the new game controller would actually have a 4-star rating out of 5, which makes a lot more sense. So anyway, I'm sure once Fire OS 5 comes out for the first gen devices and the Fire TV Stick, you know, people will stop putting these negative reviews for the new game controller, because it's really a nice little product, definitely an improvement to last generation. So kind of like the second generation Fire TV, at first it was getting bad reviews, and now it's kind of started to climb back up. It had like a, you know, I forget, 2-point-something star rating initially, like the first few days it was released, just because of all these bugs. And then now that they've been releasing these bug fixes and people are getting more stable, the, you know, ratings, I think, up to like a 3.3 right now. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to climb even more, just same way as the second gen Fire TV game controller. I'm sure we'll eventually climb back up in the ratings. You know, Amazon did email these people when the device shipped, letting them know that there's a delay and it's not compatible with the old hardware yet, but you know, people still put in the reviews or didn't see the email. Amazon even gave $10 credit to, I think, anybody that they saw owned a Fire TV first gen or a Fire TV Stick that bought the second gen Fire game controller. If you didn't get that credit, I'm sure you can get onto customer service and kind of ask for it, just because you're forced to wait. But yeah, just wanted to let you guys know that don't trust the reviews just yet. You know, if you look at them, you'll see why it's a negative review. It's a good product. If you're thinking of getting it, I definitely recommend it. All right, before we get into app news, real quickly, a little update on something I talked about last episode. So the Fire TV Stick voice bundle that kind of got released with the second generation Fire TV is also delayed. And Amazon initially delayed it to November 13th, as I mentioned last week. But then I received an email saying that that delay got updated to October 28th. I contacted Amazon's PR and they actually told me that email was a mistake. So Fire TV Stick voice bundle, it's basically the first generation Fire TV Stick is the one that everybody has already. There's no hardware changes there. But that one is being bundled with a voice remote now for $10 more and being sold in a different packaging that kind of matches the Fire TV Generation 2. And so I'm told that's still delayed till November 13th that, when I posted this article and talked about it last time when it was changed to October 28th, just want to let you guys know it's not, that was actually a mistake. Those emails shouldn't have gone out. It is actually still coming out November 13th. That's important to know mostly because this Fire TV Stick is going to ship with Fire OS 5 pre-installed. Since they're selling it with a voice remote, they're actually advertising Alexa abilities on it. And so Alexa needs Fire OS 5. Also, there's this new voice remote that's coming with it is the new Wi-Fi based voice remote. And that, as we just discussed with the game controller, needs Fire OS 5 to connect to the device. It can't connect to the old Fire OS 3 software that's still on the first generation Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. What that means is, I think, in my opinion, right around November 13th is probably when we'll see Fire OS 5 come to all Fire TV Sticks and probably the first generation Fire TV. You know, because this device is going to be out in the wild with Fire OS 5, they're going to need to get those updates ready for that. You know, they've already got a, I think, 5.0.2 software update kind of sitting, waiting for this Fire TV Stick. And so, you know, I'm sure as soon as that gets out there, that's probably going to be the initial launch day update. And I would imagine they're going to just push that update to all Fire TV Sticks, not just these voice remote ones, because you know they've been selling the voice remotes and the game controllers to Fire TV Stick owners. You know, that's my kind of prediction. I don't have any inside knowledge, but I think right around November 13th is probably when we can expect Fire OS 5 to come out, maybe even sooner. You know, they might release it on current gen devices before this voice remote is launched. All right, moving on into app news. Got one big game that was released for the Fire TV this week, and that's Farming Simulator 16. It's a really popular game for a lot of people. The version 14 was on the first gen Fire TV, came out about a year ago or so, and it was pretty popular. A lot of things, this is your kind of game, kind of simulator game to, you plant crops and you harvest them and you sell them and that kind of stuff, you know, in real time type of thing. So if you're interested in that, check that out. Moving on to some app deal news. So I just want to let everybody know that Square Enix is actually having a kind of a month-long Final Fantasy sale on the Fire TV. So every week, starting this week, they're going to basically discount a different Final Fantasy game. So they've got four of those games. Final Fantasy 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all available on the Fire TV and the Fire TV 2. And so those games are all $15.99. Very, you know, big games, long games, they're role-playing games. If you guys aren't familiar with the Final Fantasy series, you'll probably see the graphics look a little cheesy because they are kind of old games, but they're still very fun. You know, the gameplay, you know, this whole series is award-winning and a lot of people love this series. So if you've been thinking about getting into this series and playing it on the Fire TV, this week Final Fantasy 3 went on sale for $7.99, and that's going to last until November 5th. And then on the 5th, Final Fantasy 4 is going to go on sale. And then on the 12th, Final Fantasy 5 is going to go on sale. And then on the November 19th, Final Fantasy 6 is going to go on sale. So look for those if you're into the Final Fantasy series or you want to get into it. Definitely a good time to start playing those games. Because $7.99, I mean, these games, when they first came out, they were $40 games, you know, on consoles. Getting to play them for $7.99 is a pretty good deal. A little pricey as far as, you know, general Fire TV games go, you know, because 99-cent games are so kind of dominant. But these full-blown console games that'll get you dozens and dozens of hours of gameplay are really awesome. And then real quick, so this week Amazon had a Halloween bundle. So they were giving away 33 apps and games for free in their kind of, you know, holiday bundle. So they do this for most big holidays now. And so they had a Halloween one, and so two of those games are compatible with the Fire TV. The first one is Draw a Stickman Epic, and the next one is called Rotate It, which is like a puzzle game. Now, both of these games are actually tablet games, so if you have been, you know, following AFTV news for a while, you'll probably remember when Amazon, you know, back in November last year, basically a year ago, they added this ability where you could play tablet touch games on the Fire TV. So what you do is you essentially move a cursor. You can see here, if you're watching the video version, a cursor will appear on the screen, and you can adjust how fast that cursor moves using the joystick on, you know, the game controller. And that's how you play these games. So you basically, you know, emulate a touch interface. And so it's kind of, you know, a little cumbersome. It's not the best experience, but if you, you know, if you like some of these games and they're not available natively on the Fire TV, it's a good option. And so check those out. All the games I mentioned, all the apps I mentioned, even all the articles, of course, will always be linked in the show notes here. You can check it out, you know, down in the comments of the YouTube video, or just check out the show notes section, info section, if you're watching, or sorry, if you're listening to this in audio form, like on a podcast client. Check out those games. They're going to be available free for the next few days. Definitely get them, you know, maybe down the line you'll end up playing them. Moving along very quickly to non-Fire TV news. Just got two quick articles I want to go over. So Amazon.com has removed Chromecast, Apple TVs, and Nexus Player listings from their site. This was expected. They announced this at the beginning of the month, that these devices were, quote, did not interact well with Prime Video. And so they decided to remove these. I wrote a little long piece about why I think the real reason Amazon removed these devices. And essentially, it has to do with in-app purchases on Google and Apple devices. So Amazon wants to put their Prime Video apps, full-fledged Prime Video apps, on these devices, but they can't really, because if they do, then Google and Apple are going to get a 30% cut of any sales in those apps. And so that probably is not feasible for Amazon, just because of their profit margins are probably pretty slim on video sales, I would imagine. And so that's kind of the reason, the, you know, very quick reason why I think they are kind of sticking it to Apple and to Google by banning these devices. A lot of people don't like that they're doing this, but hey, you know, somebody in the comments here I saw mentioned Apple doesn't sell Fire TVs in their stores, so why should Amazon sell Apple TVs in their own store? Yeah, you know, I'm not going to get into the opinions there, but just want to say that they were removed. So if you're thinking of buying any of these devices from Amazon, you cannot do it anymore. Very quickly, I got some requests from people asking me to cover more Echo news, so I've been trying to do that. So the Amazon Echo, which is Amazon's kind of speaker with a built-in Alexa assistant, got an update this week that allows it now to kind of do local searches through Yelp. So you can ask things like find a nearby Chinese restaurant, for example, or really any kind of local place, and it will find them. And then you can ask Alexa to, you know, look up information on those places. So if one of the search results that it reads off is, you know, interesting to you, or for whatever reason, you can ask it to tell you when the place opens and closes. You can ask for the location, and it'll read off the address and tell you the distance you are from that location, and it'll even give you the phone number of the location. So kind of handy, you know, if you're just wondering, you know, when does a local restaurant close tonight, you just blurt it out and ask Alexa. So these features are not coming to the Fire TV just yet. These are kind of more, you know, advanced features of Alexa, and the Fire TV only has kind of very basic Alexa features. So we'll probably see these features maybe come to the Fire TV near the end of the year. This is kind of what I'm hearing. I'll get more into that. You know, I saw a lot of people were asking questions about Alexa coming to the UK and Europe. So moving on into questions and answers. So every week I put a post up asking for people to submit questions for me to cover here on the AFTV newscast. I'll usually answer all the questions live, but I'll cut them down for the actual released audio and video podcast, just to keep the podcast within a limited amount of time. People who are watching live can always tweet me at AFTV News, and I'll answer those questions live. Got a whole bunch of Twitter questions this week. Got the first one from Chris, wondering if you can talk about how often we can expect app updates on AFTV2. Some apps seem buggy. That's really, you know, tough to say, because it's on a per app basis. You know, each app is developed by their own developer. Some developers are a lot quicker and responsive, whereas others, you know, just let their app sit there buggy for months on end. Best thing to do is, if there's an app that you want fixed or an app that you want to come to the Fire TV, contact those developers, even if they're big. You know, like if you want, say, NBC app, to come to the Fire TV, which we talked about last week, is actually coming, contact those people, let them know that you're a Fire TV user and you want their app on the device, or tell them that, you know, it's buggy in a certain way. And there's really no way to tell when those apps will be updated and how often. So Calvin asks, can you recommend a good Air Mouse remote, preferably one with a QWERTY keyboard? I can't, because I usually use just a physical, you know, regular desktop mouse and keyboard. Jack Russell here is asking if I could share what model keyboard and touchpad that I use. It's the Logitech K400. It's actually the K400R that you want to get. It's the new kind of revision of the keyboard. It's a little harder to find nowadays because they've kind of replaced it by the, I think, K400 Plus, which is not as good. So if you can get the K400R, that's the one I definitely recommend. Most usually the K400R is listed as a K400, but when they ship it, you actually get the R version. And that's because this one kind of has all of the better buttons. So they have a home button at the top, and it has the play buttons that you can use. So basically this keyboard can replicate all of the actions that the actual Fire TV remote can do. I'll put a link to the keyboard in the show notes, of course, so you guys can find it easily. But that's the keyboard I use. It's not a Bluetooth-based keyboard, so it doesn't work with the Fire TV stick. It only works with the Fire TV because it has a little USB dongle. But I think this keyboard works better than Bluetooth keyboards in general. And so yeah, works really well. So I got another question here on Twitter from Gung Yun Yang. He says, I forgot to install Clockwork Mod Recovery before installing the boot menu. Now my AFTV stuck at the Amazon logo. Any way to fix that? So I have this article here, How to Unbrick and Prevent Bricking an Amazon Fire TV. And it's kind of the best guide to recover anytime you make mistakes like this. I'll include a link in the show notes to this article if you run into any trouble. But basically, if you search AFTV News for the word unbrick, it'll pretty much be the first article that comes out. You know, hopefully, Gung Yang, you unlocked your bootloader, because that's the most important thing to recovering. If you have an unlocked bootloader, you can pretty much get out of any jam. You say you did not install Clockwork Mod, so most likely these entering recovery mode section of this article is not for you, but that's pretty much your first step, is to always try to see if you can get into recovery mode, which is Clockwork Mod. If you can't, then this is where having an unlocked bootloader is important, because you can use fast boot mode to actually install Clockwork Mod or repair recovery altogether and actually boot into recovery. So you use an A to A USB cable, which is kind of a USB cable that has that like rectangular male end on both sides. That lets you connect the computer to the Fire TV directly and boot into fast boot mode. And through that, you can run these commands to actually flash recovery onto the Fire TV through fast boot mode. And so with that, you can pretty much get into recovery. And once you're into recovery, I have this next section called Resetting with Recovery. And you follow these few steps and you can pretty much get any Fire TV back fixed. And so that relies on having your bootloader unlocked, which is one of the first steps in my kind of starter's guide for modding the Fire TV. I'll put a link to that in the show notes also. It's at aftvnews.com/start. But hopefully, Gung Yang, you actually had the bootloader unlocked. Next question here, also from Twitter, from Budyaka. He says, will Alexa work with Netflix, or are we still stuck with Amazon-only voice control? Yeah, no, Alexa will not work with Netflix. If you're actually talking about controlling Netflix with Alexa, like play and pause, that's not going to happen. You can only control music right now with Alexa. Later on, we might get an update that adds that. But if you're talking about searching Netflix with Alexa, I've got an article I'll link in the show notes that kind of talks about why we don't have Netflix integrated into the voice search and the universal search that's on the Fire TV. And that's really something that's on Netflix's side. It's up to them to submit their database to Amazon. I'm sure Amazon wants to get Netflix search on there, but Netflix is kind of just sitting around not doing it. I think it's probably because the two companies are kind of competing with their video services. So, but unfortunately, yeah, there's no sign, there's no word on when we're going to get Netflix kind of integrated into Alexa. All right, now let's move into questions submitted by you guys on the questions and topics post that I put every week. First question is from John Engels. He says, have you heard anything on possible release date for FireOS 5 on the Fire TV Gen 1? No, I kind of briefly mentioned this when covering the news articles. I haven't heard anything. Amazon hasn't said anything. I actually asked my source. He actually doesn't even know himself exactly when they're going to release it, so they're not really sure. But my guess is, like I said previously, when the Fire TV Stick voice bundle gets released, that's going to ship with FireOS 5 pre-installed. And so that's basically equivalent to the current Fire TV stick. So once that's out, which we're expecting to come out November 13th, I would imagine that'll be probably a good time when we'll see FireOS 5 come to the first gen Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. Next question is from Kinseki. He says, I blocked update on Fire TV 1 and 2. It worked before for Fire TV 2, but the 5.0.3 update by some way was able to update. Is there an IP address or domain or keyword that we need to add to the block list? The Fire TV 1 is still okay. Amazon is not able to auto update on my Fire TV 1. So no, nothing has changed. There's still the basically amazondigital.edgesuite.net domain. That's the main domain, that's the only domain that the Fire TV downloads its updates from. So as long as you have that blocked, it will continue to block it. Now, I have heard from some readers that certain routers will sometimes not block domains when they're initially booting up. So you'll be able to actually make a connection to the device before it has kind of kicked in the blocking aspect of it. So that might be how it got through. But if you go to aftvnews.com/software and you go and try to download any of those update links that are there and see, does your computer block those downloads? You know, as long as it blocks the download from your computer, your router should be blocking those downloads on your Fire TV. And so if one snuck in, I would consider maybe getting a different router if that's really important to you, because it's probably the router itself that kind of failed. Because as far as Amazon goes, every time there's a new update, I always check the URL. I always sniff out to see what's the full URL there, and they have not changed the domain where the updates are coming from. Next question from Michael. He asks, what happened to Madea TV, live media streaming from the UK? So yeah, Madea TV was an app that came out a few months ago, was it? Maybe 2 months ago? That actually let you stream like, I don't know, 2 or 3 dozen UK channels. It got pulled from the Fire TV App Store recently, and I reached out to the guys to see why it got pulled. They never got back to me, so I don't really know why it got pulled. Most likely, so in the UK, you kind of have better over-the-air streaming, and so a lot of the big UK broadcasters like BBC, ITV, and those will basically stream their channels over the air, and so people can take those channels and rebroadcast them through the internet pretty much legally. But I have a feeling that it's only legal if you're a resident of the UK and you're in the UK, because, you know, it's basically the tax dollars that are paying for those streams, I think. I'm not completely familiar with that. Maybe somebody can chime in the comments, let me know more about how those channels are available. But I have a feeling Madea was not allowed to stream those channels outside of the UK. So there are several apps in the UK Amazon App Store for the UK Fire TV that will stream a lot of those channels for free. ITV, BBC, Channel 4, that's another one. So there's a lot of good content, and it's all pretty much for free. The quality isn't that great, but at least you don't have to log in, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to pay anything. You get those channels. But pretty much all of those apps from the BBC, from ITV, are restricted geographically to UK residents only, but Madea was kind of the lone wolf that was not restricted, and I think that's why it got pulled, because it should have been restricted. Next question from Graham Oxley says, when will Alexa be available in the UK for Fire TV 2nd Gen? Also got that question from somebody here on Twitter. So I don't know. Amazon has been really quiet, has not said anything about when Alexa will come to the Fire TV in the UK or when the Amazon Echo will be released in the UK. I would imagine the reason it's not available yet is because Alexa relies on a lot of local searching and local content. So they kind of have to make it, you know, compatible with different regions. So it's not as simple as just releasing it all over the place. I would imagine, kind of going off of when the Fire TV was released in the UK. So the Fire TV first gen came out in the US in April, and then was released in the UK, I believe, around October. I believe it was September. It was released in September in Germany, and then released in October in the UK. So that's about 5 to 6 months. And then the Fire TV Stick actually took around that time too. It was released in the US in November of 2014, and then released in the UK and Germany simultaneously around, I think it was April. So again, that was about 5 months. And so the Amazon Echo has been now fully released in the US for about 4 or 5 months. So if we go along the same time frame, I would think that maybe at the start of next year, first quarter of next year, we might see the Amazon Echo released in the UK. You know, if that time frame is kind of when Amazon does things, they release things in the US and then about 6 months later release it overseas for the first time. Again, this is all just kind of guessing here, because we have no information, we have no way to know. I have been told that a larger Alexa update for the Fire TV is being worked on to kind of add more of these capabilities to it that are missing right now. We might see that before the end of the year. you know, as early as late December-ish. So maybe Amazon is waiting for that update to kind of make a more wide, you know, a wider Alexa release, you know, outside of the US. So this is just kind of what I've heard and what I'm guessing here, but there's no real way to know, unfortunately. Next question from Phil. He says, my Fire TV 2 has only 4.21 gigabytes of storage out of 5.61 total available after initial setup. With no other apps installed, is this normal? It seems very odd to lose 1.5 gig of storage for no apparent reason. Any ideas? I also second the question about Alexa in the UK. That is about right for the Fire TV 2, unfortunately. The first bit of the 8 gigabyte storage that the Fire TV has is used by the OS. So then 5.61 is available for apps after the fact. And then even though you don't have any apps installed, the default apps will use some of that space by cache, a lot of caching. So I know the Photos app will use about 300 to 400 megabytes itself, just caching those screensavers. And unfortunately, Amazon hasn't added a way to kind of disable that yet. But 4.21 gigabytes sounds about right for kind of a fresh Fire TV. This is why Amazon has been pushing the micro SD card expansion so much, because they know that it comes with so little. I recommend installing a app called Disk Usage. You can get it from the Google Play Store using the Evozi downloader. I'll put a link to all of this in the show notes, but you can download it for free and sideload this app, Disk Usage, onto the Fire TV. It's a very tiny app. And basically, it will give you a visual representation of what apps are using what on internal storage of the Fire TV. And it's really handy to know if there are some lingering files that kind of are left over from an app you uninstalled, or maybe which app is using a lot of, you know, caching that you can kind of go in and clear. So it's a really handy app called Disk Usage. I'll link it in the show notes. Check it out. Next question from Chris. He says, with unrooted Fire TV 2, can I connect external USB hard drive 3 terabyte, and can Kodi access media files from it, where media files can be as small as 5 megabyte music to 8 gigabyte movie each? So yes, for the most part, yes. There's a slight no to what you want to do, but you can connect a 3 terabyte hard drive to the Fire TV. You know, Amazon says it's a 128 gigabyte limit, but the Fire TV 2 and the Fire TV 1 will accept spinning hard drives, you know, in multi-terabyte sizes. Now, the hard drive has to be formatted in FAT32. I've covered this previously in previous episodes on why that's the case. But because it's formatted and has to be formatted in FAT32, that means you cannot store files that are larger than 4 gigabytes on there. So these 8 gigabyte movies that you're talking about having on Kodi, you cannot store them just in their intact state. I have a guide that I'll link in the show notes on how to take something like an 8 gigabyte file, a movie file, and break it up into several RAR files. And then Kodi is actually smart enough to, on the fly, combine those RAR files. So you can play a movie that's larger than 4 gigabytes off of a FAT32 drive through Kodi connected to the Fire TV 1 and 2. Check out the links in the show notes for full instructions on how to do that. But yes, for the most part, you can do all of that. You just have to kind of play a little game and kind of change the file format from just a plain, like, you know, MKV file for those really large files into multiple RAR files. Next question is from Alex Wong. He says, is Bluetooth audio coming to the Fire TV stick in FireOS 5 as suggested here? So he links to an XDA thread, which I checked out earlier. It does look like that's the case. So when the first generation Fire TV got the update that added what they call private listening, which lets you connect a Bluetooth audio device, and so you can listen to the Fire TV wirelessly through Bluetooth headphones, that feature did not come to the Fire TV stick. It looks like, you know, well, currently with the developer preview for FireOS 5 on the Fire TV stick, that feature is available. We haven't gotten word from Amazon themselves whether that's still going to be the case when the full final FireOS 5 version comes to the Fire TV stick. But it absolutely looks like that's the case, you know, which is really awesome because that's a really nice, handy feature. Alex asks, have you tried it out in the developer preview? Yeah, I have tried it. It works on the Fire TV stick just as it does on the Fire TV. So it's pretty cool. I actually remember here getting a comment from somebody on Twitter earlier this week. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. So Michael Sanaki tweeted me earlier this week. Actually, I'm just realizing now that I didn't respond to him just yet, but he says, I'm 100% sure the hands-free profile wasn't listed on the Fire TV Stick's product page last week. If you scroll down to the very bottom of the Fire TV Stick product page, you'll see Amazon list the different Bluetooth profiles that the device supports. And I don't know for sure myself, but according to Michael here, he says that the hands-free profile, which is basically the wireless audio profile, was not previously listed on the stick page, and now it is. So it does look like the Fire TV stick is going to get the private listening once it gets Fire OS 5 update. Nate GG says, strange thing I noticed regarding the GPU CPU. And Tutu gave my Fire TV 2 a score of around 50,000 at 1080p, and on my LG G3, it's 39,000 at 2K, whereas Dead Trigger 2 only allows medium settings, but on my LG, I can max it out and with no noticeable lag. Any ideas? I assume N22 is a benchmarking tool, just because you're saying it gave you a 50,000 score and 39,000 score. You can't fully trust these benchmarking scores. Real world tests are more likely, you know, like with Dead Trigger 2. So the fact that even though the Fire TV 2 scored higher than your LG G3, which is a pretty heavy duty device, you know, you can't really trust the scores to be an accurate representation. Benchmarks will factor in a lot of things when doing these scores, not just graphics. And so the fact that Dead Trigger 2 runs better on the phone, which got a lower score than the Fire TV, is not unusual. That sometimes happens. Next question from Zedric. He says, I have 3 Fire TV sticks with the original firmware that I bought last year. I've been saving them to root whenever that root comes out, but do you know of any news about that being possible, or should I just forget about it and just use them? So I don't know about a new root coming out for the device. Now that we have a new hardware with the Fire TV 2, there might be a little more, you know, incentive for people to root it. That's kind of the case usually when new hardware comes out. People get, you know, the new hardware and try to, you know, be the first ones to root it. So now is kind of, you know, the best time to wait. But that said, most likely if a rooting method comes out, it'll probably be applied, you know, you'll probably be able to root the latest software version. Now, you know, usually when I say block updates, if you're hoping for roots, I assume you're using the device. You know, just letting your 3 Fire TV sticks kind of sit in a drawer somewhere because you're waiting for root is not the best thing to do. You know, I see that as a waste. If you want to use the sticks, go for it. I say use them. Most likely, if a rooting method comes out, it will work on the absolute latest software version for the Fire TV stick and the Fire TV. Jim asks, before I sideload Kodi 15.2 on my Fire TV 2, do I need to update to latest OS, or doing it straight out of the box is fine? Also, some people use different ways to install Kodi 15.2, like using computer versus no computer, will have the same results. It won't affect add-ons? Yeah, it won't affect. You can totally update first, or you can totally install Kodi first. It doesn't matter. Fire TV updates do not affect the apps that you've installed. They basically just leave those installed. They leave your settings in place. So it doesn't matter whether you update the Fire TV first or you install Kodi first. It makes no difference. As far as the different methods, it's just personal preference. Some people would prefer to use ADB and have their computer remotely connect to the device and install sideload Kodi that way. Some people don't want to use a computer at all and use the ES File Explorer method. I'll include my links to all of that, but basically if you go to aftvnews.com/sideload, I have several ways of how you can install Kodi, you know, sideloaded to the Fire TV, and really they're all exactly the same. You'll always end up with the same installation of Kodi. There's no difference. It's just personal preference, whether you want to use a USB drive, whether you want to use a computer, whether you want to just sit there and do the ES File Explorer method. It's all just preference. The Hulk chimes in and asks, I have a first gen Fire TV and I'm having issues with the device frequently getting hot and displaying an orange LED on the status LED. I'm wondering if you maybe have an idea as to whether Amazon will replace the device with a new/refurbished one, or whether they will repair it. If they do replace it, what would you say is the likeliness that they'll replace it with the second gen Fire TV? I'm hoping that they've run out of first gen Fire TVs and instead give me their second gen as a replacement. Would be great if you can share your thoughts. That's an interesting way to try to exploit the system there, Hulk. And so I actually saw earlier, either this week or last week, the refurbished Fire TV Generation 1 came back in stock and then sold out again. So just recently, you know, within the last few days. So I would imagine that Amazon has refurbished units or Fire TV first gens available to send out as replacements to people, you know, who have issues. As far as why it's getting hot, I don't know exactly, but yeah, a solid orange LED on the Fire TV means that there's a heat issue, so the device is overheating. Most likely, I doubt you'll get a second generation Fire TV as a replacement for your first generation Fire TV. I would imagine that up to a year after Amazon stopped selling the first generation Fire TV, they'll continue to kind of maintain a supply of these devices. I think you can actually still buy a first generation Fire TV brand new through Amazon Prime Now, their little 2-hour delivery mobile app, if it's available in your area. So they do have a supply of Fire TV first generations that they're kind of reserving, it seems. So yeah, you probably won't get that, but I'm sure they'll probably replace your first gen Fire TV with a first gen because it's having kind of overheating issues. Next question here from Reese. They say, is it possible to use the Xbox One controller or PS4 controller on the Amazon Fire TV instead of Amazon's own controller? Yes and no. So as far as the PS4 controller, that seems to be the more compatible one. It uses just a standard Bluetooth protocol, so you can just connect wirelessly a PS4 controller to the Fire TV. I have heard that early generation PS4 controllers, I guess they had revisions, but the very early ones have a little more difficulty connecting to the Fire TV. But the newer PS4 controllers, the ones you would buy right now, like brand new off Amazon, they connect just fine. They don't work as well as the Fire TV's Amazon made game controller. I hear some people have button mapping issues. So while simple games will work, more complicated games that kind of use all the, you know, the triggers and all the different buttons tend to have, I've seen in comments, I haven't used it myself, but I've heard that the PS4 controller's mapping is not quite right on the Fire TV, but for the most part it does work. As far as the Xbox One controller, I have heard that you can use it connected with a micro USB cable to the USB port on the back of the Fire TV. So I've heard it works that way, but wirelessly I've heard it does not work. So the Xbox One controller does not use a standard wireless protocol. Microsoft has just released a kind of USB dongle for the Xbox One controller to connect to a Windows 10 PC, but it does not work with pretty much anything other than a Windows 10 PC. Xbox One controller should work with a wired micro USB cable, but will not work wirelessly. PS4 is definitely the better way to go if you're looking at those two controllers. The Xbox 360 controller works really well on the Fire TV though. You do have to get their official Microsoft dongle if you want to use it wirelessly again, but that dongle does work on the Fire TV. Matthew Hart chimes in on Twitter, says, have you considered creating a forum area on your website so users can post threads and others can respond? Yeah, I've mentioned this before actually on the podcast that I'm working on a forum area. I don't know when it's going to be released. With the second generation Fire TV coming out, and with all of these kind of updates that have been coming out, and me trying to analyze these updates, they've been taking up a lot of my time, but I do definitely still plan on doing a full-blown nice forum feature. Initially, I was planning to integrate the forum and the comments into one system, just so that discussions are not split, but I'm kind of second-guessing that. I might actually launch a forum separately first, just because the solutions I found that kind of can combine the two. The forum aspect of it is a little limited, and I want like a really good forum. You know, I like forums. There are several forums that I browse, so I want a good forum for AFTV News, and I definitely plan to have it, Matthew. And hopefully before the year's over, let's put that time frame. You know, that's kind of the tentative plan. Things tend to get a little slow once December gets in. So if I haven't done a forum in November, I'll definitely, you know, commit to getting one out there in December. But hopefully I'll have some time in the next week or so, now that these updates for the second generation Fire TV have kind of stabilized the system. And so, you know, things might slow down a bit for me, but absolutely look for a forum feature to come out soon. All right, next comment's here from Lewis. He says, hi, Elias, cannot watch today. We'll board the plane back from vacay soon, but we'll catch the webcast tomorrow. Maybe it's an idea to post the full webcast and edited one. I would love to watch back the full episode to hear everything. Can imagine others also want the full reply to their question. What do you think? I've thought about that. You know, just because these episodes run so long, you know, when I don't edit them down, you know, usually it's almost half the time by the time I edit down all the little hiccups and that kind of stuff and me thinking about the questions. But I'll consider it. You know, maybe I'll put it as kind of an unlisted video in its full unedited format and link it in the show notes. So if somebody wants to watch the full version, they can. So I'll do that for this episode, actually, if I remember, hopefully. Lewis also says, can't wait for your Apple TV feedback versus the Amazon Fire TV. What is your expectation, and can you try to compare streaming apps like Netflix and HBO Now? And do you think AirPlay of Amazon Instant will still work? Thanks and all the best. Yeah, I'll definitely be posting some feedback. I won't be doing too much of a comparison between the two Just because I'm sure a lot of other people will be doing that. My main interest in the new Apple TV is to try to see if we can get some, like, quote, sideloaded apps on there, specifically Kodi, just because Apple has kind of made more developer program a little more lenient, and so it'll let people do a little more, you know, compiling and loading of unofficial apps onto the device. So that's kind of the first thing I'm going to try to do. But yeah, I'll try to do a little comparison with the Fire TV, comparing it to the Apple TV. As far as AirPlay for Amazon Video, don't know. I'll test that myself. I've got some iOS devices. We'll see if that still works, since we know that there is not going to be an Amazon Video app for the new Apple TV. Next question is from BBS. They say, Roku 4 has the function to find the remote via Wi-Fi Direct. Not sure how it works exactly, but I guess an easy way is to let the remote beep when it is being searched. Another way is via an app on cell phone by tracing Wi-Fi signals. My question is, do you know if the second-gen Amazon Fire TV remote has this beeper hardware built into the remote? If not, can Amazon invent a function in the Fire TV app for us to find lost remotes? So the way the Roku 4 does the beeping, so there's a button on top of the Roku 4, and when you press that, the remote has a little like chime chirp sound that it makes. You know, it doesn't do it by tracing Wi-Fi signals or anything like that. The device, the Roku 4 itself, is connected via Wi-Fi Direct to the remote, and so it can send signals back and forth. And so all it has to do is basically trigger the speaker that's in the remote to put out a beep. It doesn't have to do any kind of tracing or anything. I mean, it's something you could do with Bluetooth remote. It doesn't have to actually be Wi-Fi Direct. The reason it's Wi-Fi Direct is because that remote has a headphone jack, and with Bluetooth, you get a lot of times you get latency, so there'll be a delay between the audio that you're listening and the video you're seeing. So that's why whenever there's a headphone jack, usually you switch to Wi-Fi Direct, and that's what Roku did, and that's what Amazon did with the game controller, you know, has a private listening jack also. As far as Amazon adding that feature to the existing remotes, that really, the only thing that that depends on is if the remote has a speaker in it or any kind of, you know, little piezo in it, which I highly doubt it has. But even if it has it, it would need a hardware button on the Fire TV itself to initiate that control. I mean, sure, if you have an app, you could have the app connect to the Fire TV and then have that app trigger the beeping on the remote, but I don't think it's something they're going to add, just because you would have to have an app also in addition to find the remote. You can't just use the Fire TV itself because there's no buttons, there's no way to trigger it. Yeah, I don't think they're going to add that feature to the second gen Fire TV. It might be a feature we'll see in the third gen. Next question here is from Gung Yan, who I already addressed on Twitter. He actually just put up this post reply right now. So he says he tried to use the fast boot method to get into recovery, but he got the message saying flashing not allowed for locked hardware. That basically means for sure your bootloader is not unlocked. So there is a method that I have been meaning to write a guide for. So if your Fire TV is still running software version 51.1.0.2 or older, that means your Fire TV is still vulnerable. So there's actually a way to unlock the bootloader on a bricked device. I will hopefully have a guide on this out within a week. I mean, since you're kind of waiting for it, and I've been meaning to write this guide for a long time now, I'll definitely do it this coming week at some point. So look for that guide. Only if your Fire TV software version is 51.1.0.2 or older, you will be able to unlock the bootloader pretty much remotely with a A-to-A USB cable. If your Fire TV is running 51.1.1.0, which is the latest rootable version, you're kind of out of luck because you're not going to be able to downgrade without being able to get into it. Look for that guide coming this week. Hopefully it'll help you out and get you out of this jam. All right, that'll conclude episode number 13 of the AFTV Newscast. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening if you're subscribed through one of the RSS feeds. I just submitted the podcast to Google Play's new podcast features. So when that launches, you'll be able to subscribe through there. Of course, you can subscribe through iTunes or directly through the RSS feed. I have a link in the show notes for how to do that exactly. Of course, every Saturday, I put up the video on YouTube, and I think that's the best way to experience this. I always show which articles I'm talking about, and I try to show more information. If you're into Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at AFTV News. I always answer questions during the week, and I always like to interact with people. Big thanks so much for watching, and hope to see you guys next week.